message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, our God, the Lord, is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel.
Shalom Aleichem, my dear friends. Peace be unto you. The theme of this series of biblical studies is the suffering of the Messianic servant. The passage of Scripture under consideration is the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 52, verse 13, through to chapter 53 and verse 12. While these studies may be described as sober, they are not somber. I would remind you that while the sufferings of Messiah Jesus were great, they are all over now. They are forever past. The Savior's agony in the garden, that saw his perspiration flow forth as blood, is done away with. The spiritual battle he fought on the cross, that culminated in the cry, "It is finished," is over. The struggles he went through, while severe and extreme, have given way to victory. Rather than a crown of thorns embracing the Savior's brow, he now wears the diadem of sovereignty, and the scepter of kingship rests securely in his hands. Now while the sufferings of Messiah Jesus are forever past, the glorious results continue to influence men for good, even among today's generation of men. In our first study, we sought to identify the servant of the Lord as described in Isaiah 52 and 53. We saw that while there are many references in Isaiah that speak of the nation of Israel as the servant of the Lord, the unique construction and subject matter of this passage must be applied to the promised Messiah, Messiah ben David, whom we believe to be Jesus Christ. Today's study will consider the identity of Messiah as the sorrowful Savior. His sorrow is described for us in the last three verses of Isaiah 52 and the first three verses of Isaiah 53. Verse 3 summarizes the theme for us by calling Messiah a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. These same verses also reveal the reasons why the Messiah would be a man of sorrows, namely, the people's unbelief, unkindness, and their ultimate rejection of him. Verse 1 of chapter 53 describes Israel's response to the message and revelation of Messiah. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? The report, or message referred to, concerns the messianic servant as described in chapter 52, verses 13 to 15. A quick review of those verses will reveal the following facts about him. First of all, his office and work as Messiah will be personal, for the Lord speaks of him as my servant. His ministry would be prudent, for he will know how to wisely accomplish the plan and purpose of God. Messiah's ministry would also result in pain as he works to bring God's plan of redemption to a successful conclusion. Here too is revealed something of Messiah's persuasiveness among the nations of the world. While Israel would refuse to believe, Isaiah prophesies of his acceptance by the nations of the world. Messiah would not be just the Messiah of Israel. He would also be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. That official Israel refused to accept the Messiahship of Jesus of Nazareth, and in general continues to still reject him, is a fact of history. one well documented both in the New Testament scriptures and other Jewish writings. Writing of the children of Israel of Jesus' day, the Jewish writer, John ben Zebedee, writes, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." In the 6th chapter of his Gospel, John twice quotes Jesus' remarks about the people's unbelief. In verse 36, "But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not." And then in verse 64, "But there are some of you that believe not." For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believe not, and who should betray him. On the occasion when the religious leaders sent soldiers to arrest Jesus, when they returned empty-handed, the priests harangued them with the words, "Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or the Pharisees believed on him?" In the 12th chapter of John's Gospel, some of the chief rulers are said to have believed on Jesus, but out of fear of excommunication, they kept quiet about their allegiance to Jesus as Messiah. The same fear fills the hearts of many of today's Jewish believers. Some have paid the dear price of being cut off from their place of worship, and have even experienced ostracism from family and friends. Their open allegiance to Jesus as Messiah, Savior, and Lord came at a great cost, but they readily counted as nothing for the joy, the peace, and the hope that has come to them in their new relationship with Yahweh through faith in Yeshua. Catch the pathos, the feeling of sorrow in the words of Jesus as he overlooks the city of Jerusalem and says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." Yes, the sorrow of Messiah, Jesus, was great, for his own people did not recognize him for who he was, or accept the message that he preached, nor did they receive the revelation of God that he gave to them. Everything was fulfilled in Jesus, just as the prophet Isaiah foretold. Isaiah also foretold the sorrow that would be Messiah's due to the unkindness with which they would treat him. Hear the words of verse 2. "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." The thought of unkindness is expressed in the prophet's words, "There is no beauty that we should desire him." The Hebrew word translated desire carries the picture of someone taking delight in the appearance of someone or something. In this case, Isaiah says there will be nothing about the Messiah that will cause delight and attract Israel's attention, love, and commitment. In fact, the verse clearly sets forth reasons why they would be turned away from him. The prophet uses two horticultural metaphors. He writes of a tender plant and a root out of a dry ground. The tender plant refers to that tender branch or sucker that grows from a tree trunk long after the tree has been cut down. This metaphor points directly to the family and household of that great king of Israel, King David. The same concept is given in Isaiah 11 and verse 1, another great messianic passage. "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots." There is no questioning the Davidic ancestry of Messiah Jesus. It is well documented in the New Testament for all to read. Of particular note is the clear statement that Joseph and Mary had to go to Bethlehem for the Roman assessment, because, as Luke says, he was of the house and lineage of David. The Jewish rabbi Paul also wrote of the same lineage factor. In Romans 1, verses 3 to 4, he writes, "Concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. While the Davidic lineage of Jesus is important for messianic credibility, at the time of Jesus, that claim carried no weight socially, religiously, or politically. Both Joseph and Mary were of royal descent, but all benefits of such a position were long past. It was no great commendation to declare one's Davidic lineage. Jesus Christ truly was a tender plant growing out of a tree long cut down. The second horticultural metaphor is seen in the words, "and as a root out of a dry ground." Again, we have words that point directly to the lowliness of the Davidic ancestry of Messiah Jesus, who, while being born in Bethlehem, as foretold by the prophet Micah, he spent his formative years in the province of Galilee. This was one of the factors that caused some people to doubt the messianic claim of Jesus. Listen to the words of John. Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was?" So there was a division among the people because of him. Growing out of Isaiah's use of these two horticultural metaphors referring to Messiah's background is the announcement, "He hath no form nor comeliness." In other words, Messiah's attractiveness or impressiveness would not be such as would make men attach themselves to him. Instead, they would stumble at the lowliness of his origins and his circumstances, and so turn away. The response of the citizens of Nazareth in the city in which he grew up was this, "Is not this the carpenter's son?" And so they refused to believe. And so we see the fulfillment of the prophet's words, "There is no beauty that we should desire him." Sorrow filled the heart of Messiah Jesus, not only at the people's unbelief and unkindness, but also at their complete rejection of him. Truly, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Men still stumble at the thought of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ being the promised Messiah. But a careful study of his life, in the light of Isaiah's prophetic revelation, will reveal a remarkable and an amazing, if not miraculous, fulfillment. My dear friends, I challenge you to consider these amazing truths, and place your faith in Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Savior of the world. Shalom, and may God be with you.